I love the imagery in my own life. When I, every time I minister, every time I come into a church service, I have this inner image of walking in to the Father's throne room, because that's where we've been invited, and that's where He feeds us, and that's where He fellowships with us and loves us. And I don't think we realize when we come to church really where we are in the spirit realm. Not only is He living in us, not only is He in those that are born again, but we're in His presence. We enter in. Amen. When we come in and worship, I mean, the psalm says we enter into His gates that way. Come right before His throne. Even before the cross, He wanted us in His presence. That's the whole thing. He desires us to be with Him. And this is so precious to the Father. It's so important for us to realize when we come before the Word, when we come in our Bible study time, when we, any interaction with the Word of God or in prayer, or listen to a song and driving down the road, as far as the Father's concerned, you're right there with Him. And I think we need to know that. We're so formula-minded in our daily lives, in things we do, we forget to look at it through His eyes. You know, we have a loving Father that loves us, that cares for who we are, that desires and wants to know us in that intimate way. So much so, He said, come on into this secret place. So grab a hold of that imagery today as you listen to the Word, and ever try to make it a practice to see yourself sitting before His throne, because that's what He wants you to do. Amen. To sitting before His throne in His living room, in His place where He fellowships. Amen. And allow Him to speak to your heart, right where you live. Yes, the Word will challenge us. Every time you come before the Father, every time you get into His Word and really look at it, you're going to be challenged. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because the reason He challenges us is for us to come in deeper and get rid of some of the things that are hindering us from knowing Him and knowing who we really are. Amen. So make that a practice. I'm going to ask you to do something a little different today. And we do this in Bible study, so we're all familiar with it, but I've changed it somewhat. I want to do a little confession today. And before we do that, confession is good because we position ourselves. Like I said, we're in His throne room, so we want to position ourselves in our own self. We need to hear ourselves positioning ourselves. We need to hear it coming out of our mouth, okay? So in the front of you, if you don't have your Bible with you, now I'm not talking about the phone. I know there's phone and tablets and things like that, and those are great. But there's a value in the book. Not because it's a book, but it's a point of contact, okay? So there's Bibles in front of you if you don't have one. There's Bibles in other places throughout. So see to it that everyone has a Bible in their hands. Man, this is the living Word of God. And you need to fall in love with this. Not this particular one. This is mine. I fall in love with it. But with the Word of God in whatever form you may have it. But I know this is different. But isn't that okay? I'm talking about formulas. We're so set in certain patterns in our worship, certain patterns in our church services, that when anything changes in any way, either they get upset or better, or they expect it the next time. But I like to, each service is different. Each service, there's another communication. And this kind of goes along with our Word. So just as you hold that Bible, it'd be a good thing to, I'm going to hold mine too, to kind of lift it up like that. Okay? I know it's not your Bible, so I've changed this a little bit. This is the Bible. Say this with me, okay, after me. This is the Bible. It is the living Word of God.
It is the living Word of God.
His heart speaking to my heart.
His heart speaking to my heart.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
Today.
I will be taught the Word of God.
I boldly confess.
My mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, the indestructible, the ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. And you will never be the same. Never. Never. Either you're going forward and closer or you're going farther away, but you're never the same. The Word challenges you. And it's living Word for us. If you want change in your life, there's only one way to get it. You've got to go to the one who knows the design, who created us from His heart. The message, the last three times I've ministered, counting this one, and by the way, there is a number four. I found it yesterday. I created number four yesterday, so there's number four whenever, because I can't get that far. But for the past three times I've ministered, we've been talking about it's a heart condition. And the more I study this, the more I find out that everything is a condition of the heart. Well, I mean, it ought to make sense to us because we're created after our Father. We're God's own design. He created us. He molded us. He decided what we were going to be. Our DNA is love, okay, because God is love. We are a love creature, whether we're born again or not. It's just that simple. We're a love creature. Born again or not, that's why we seek after it so much. So that's why God pushes on it so much for us to love. So as we love and as we walk in this DNA, we grow. We change. So we're products of being a love creature. So if we're going to change in our life, we need to find out what the lover says. What the Creator says. It's like you do with your car. You go, I take mine to Chevrolet, because it's Chevrolet. Amen, Mark. And that's where we go, because they know the product. Well, when I go to my Father to pray, I'm going with a reason. I want something changed here. I'm seeing I've got problems and issues. Had I been praying to begin with, a lot of those problems I wouldn't have had, but I didn't. So now I got to have something changed. So I go to my Father, and I talk to my Father. Well, it's stupid for me to go in there and say, God, I got this, this, and this, and this, and never listen to Him and walk out. I can take my car to Mark's Chevrolet dealership there and say, I got this problem, this problem, this problem, and drive off. Well, what's going to happen to my car? I'm still going to have it when I leave. Am I not? Well, it's the same way with the Father. If I walk into my Father's house, and that's what I do when I pray, I'm talking to my Father. So if I'm doing that, there needs to be an exchange here. I need to place my heart in His heart and place my life in His hands and let Him do what He does. But I'm involved in that. So we've been talking about it's a heart condition. Everything in our lives is a heart condition. The quicker I find that out, the more I know that, the more change can happen in my life. The closer I draw to my Father. The closer I draw to my Father, the more I know myself. The more I know myself, the better this self works. That's right. The depression, fear, and worry, and anger, and all those things leave when you come into the Father's heart, because they're not there. But you got to know Him and let Him be who He is, because He will not take His ground. So that's why it's important for us to get a hold of this, not because I'm ministering it. All I got when I developed this was that statement. Anybody knows how I do things, I teach it, then find a title. Because I don't know what I'm going to say. I have a place I'm going, but I don't know what's going to come out of that. So I don't come up with a title first. A lot of people do. Pastor will always ask me, what's your title? I don't know. I told him one time, I said, why don't you just put a question mark and then a subject to change at the bottom, you know, because I don't know. But this was different. I hadn't had it happen in 30 years of ministry. I never get the title first. But it was just a phrase. I was driving down the road, and it came up to me, everything is a condition of the heart. It was just, I drive all the time. So the phrase came. So I started studying that, and the more I studied it, the more fascinated I got. I could see how simple God has made this. If we know Him and allow God to be God, We know about him, but do we know him? He desires that intimacy. That's what it's all about. That's what the cross is about. It's intimacy with my Father, with your Father. He wants us to come up to that place where we know him the way he knows our hearts. He's not closed the door on his heart. It's wide open. Amen. What the cross is all about, revealing all that he is to man, and then putting man in a place where they can know him, not by duties and deeds, but by heart. So it is a heart condition. Our foundation scriptures for this series is Proverbs 4:23. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the issues of life. Notice he didn't say the Christian. He just said the heart, period. The heart. And this was before the cross when this was said. So I suggest to you, just by that one scripture alone, it'll tell us that it's a condition of the heart. No matter what issue you're going through in life, whether we like it or not, it's a heart condition. The heart meaning the spirit man. That's who we are. We're spirits. So it's alive in us. It's who we are. We were not born in depression, fear, and worry. We became that way. We were not born good or bad. We became that way. We absorbed things and it came into our spirits, and we became a product of whatever environment we're in, right? Decisions that we make. Well, we can change the condition of our heart, but there's only one way to do it, and that's God's way. We got to go to the manufacturer. We've got to go to the person that knows us. Not just complain about the problem, but listen for the answer. Shannon brought a good devotional in the men's meeting yesterday about sitting back and listening. It was from God's perspective, talking to his people. Listen to me. Take time to draw back and listen. We exhaust ourselves in trying to fix things around us when it's so much faster and easier and better if we sit down with our Father and listen. Amen. Listen to his heart. But it's like any other relationship. It takes time. You got to learn to know who he is. If you want to do a good Bible study, study mercy and grace. Study his loving kindness from his angle of view. Put yourself in there and sit down with it and become the characters in the scripture there. Look at the heart of the Father. Don't just be so quick to run by it and read it. Find out what's there. What's this talking to me about? Where am I in this? Every commandment and every promise, I'm going to use this word, I use it in the second one, and it's jumped out at me more than probably any other thing. I was just standing here like this and speaking it, and that's when it jumped out, and I've been talking about it ever since. The word is absolute. Amen. So I'm not a scientist, but I know absolute, there is an absolute zero. Absolute, meaning cannot change. Unchangeable. The word of God and every promise in there, every commandment and every promise is an absolute. Amen. Whether I like it or not, I can't change it. I can conform to it. I can allow it to change me. I can take a hold of it as an absolute and anchor myself in it and it will work. Yes. Or I can deny it and the opposite of it works. But it's my choice. But I can take the Word of God, because it is the Word of God. It is an absolute, absolute. That's right. So I've started looking at the promises and the commandments through that angle of view. I suggest you do the same. I suggest when it says, by his stripes ye were healed, you take that as an absolute from the throne of God. Why? Blood was shed. The cross made it an absolute. It's unchangeable. Well, why isn't it working? I don't know. It's time you dig around and find out. What are the hindrances? There's hindrances to that. If I'm not treating it as an absolute, that's one hindrance right there. I treat it as a maybe it will be, or if I conform to it, or maybe it's not God's idea. Maybe it's not his will. Maybe he just doesn't like me. That's not the case. It's an absolute. If nobody partook of it at all, it's still an absolute. It's unchangeable. The way God said, light be, that's an absolute. It cannot be changed. The cross cannot be changed. No matter how far Satan goes, no matter what he does, it's an absolute. And he knows that. And when the believer gets a hold of what that cross purchased, when he gets a hold of that promise that God said, when we get a hold of that, and we take it as a believer, and we believe it, he can't do anything with it. Satan cannot do nothing with it.
That's right.
The seed of that word will come to pass.
Yes,
the commandments are the same way. Those commandments are absolutes, not suggestions.
Right.
When you see the word if, and, or if, but, put, let, stop, right there. Because they're commandments.
Amen.
Not suggestions. They're commandments. And they require a response. Okay, on our part.
Yeah.
We have to respond. And our lack of responding is a response.
That's right.
So when we see let, we're going to see that in a minute. God means just that. It means I have a choice to make. It means that this let has something following it. And whatever is following it is going to work depending on how I use it and what I do with it. That's why you see it working in one person and not in another.
Right.
Because somewhere along the line, they have not let. They have not put. And if they did, they changed their mind. Or they saw it as not an absolute, but they saw it as a formula. They saw it as something that I may or may not want to do. A suggestion from God. So many times we read verses in the Bible as suggestions, and they're not. They're absolutes. When you start listening to that, the more I say that word, the stronger it gets in me. We're talking about faith. It's a heart condition, and it is. All faith is a heart condition. We are faith beings.
Amen.
To say, when we talk about faith in Christian circles, we're talking about believing God's word and believing God. But you got to take faith a little further. Man himself is a faith creature. The way we are a love creature, whether we're born again or not, we're created that way. We believe things. Some earnestly believe they're atheists. The mere fact they believe that, it's a fact to them. They're believing it. It's faith in that. But the problem with that statement is they have to work 24/7, 365 to keep that.
Yeah.
Because creation itself says different than that. It says there is a God. The fact that I can eat this food and breathe this air tells me there's something higher than me.
Amen.
There's got to be something there. Creation itself, the Bible says, proves there's a God. And it also says the biggest fool there is one that does not believe there is.
That's right.
And that's a fool says that. Now, if God calls you a fool, what are you? You're a fool. I mean, whether you think you are or not, you know, you're a fool. I hope there's nobody like that in here. If you are here, fix it.
That's right.
Because there is a God. Well, if there is, and I suggest you start finding out who he is. He's real. And he's not going to show himself to you until you ask him to. One of my sons, one time, he's a very serious young man. He loves the Lord. But yet, he had not proved it for himself. So he was not really with God. He was kind of off and stuff. And one time we went somewhere on about an hour trip together, just him and I. And he said, Dad, he said, I got to know for myself, not because you told me so. I said, son, he said, I don't want to hurt your feelings. He said, but I need to know. I can't do it because you just tell me that. And he expected me to argue with him, and I did, and I said, praise God. That's exactly where you should be. Because the Word of God says, if you seek, you will find. Amen. That's an absolute. If you knock, it will be open. Amen. So whatever's locked up in your life, fear, worry, depression, anger, if you go and use the key, that door will open, and you will not have to be in bondage anymore. Amen. It's an absolute. You see how things change when you start looking at them that way? Until that second message I taught, I knew faith, I knew about it, I knew making decisions, but I had never looked at it as an absolute. I've not heard anybody say that or use it that way before. But I am, because I want that in my life. I want change in me. I want the Word to challenge me. I want a difference. I want to be able to stand up and impart to somebody that and let them go free.
That's right.
I mean, nobody wants to be in bondage. Nobody wants to be wrapped up in this world. And it's a heart condition is why you're there. Whether you think so or not, it's not your family. It's not those who abused you. It's not anything in your background that caused you to be there. I mean, they happened, yes. Decisions were made, yes. But you didn't have to respond the way you did, but you didn't know. Well, now you do. It's time to dig in, don't you think? It's time, when you study the love of the Father, you'll find out how little hold depression, fear, and worry actually have on you. It doesn't have much of a hold when you treat the Word as an absolute. It doesn't have much of a hold. But as long as you don't see God's Word for what it is, that thing will remain. No matter how much you ask God to remove it, no matter how much you want somebody else to pray for you, until you treat God's Word for what it is, and you go to the heart of the Father, because you want change, it's not going to change. I hate to give you that message. I'm going to give you one more. I say it all the time. You cannot take a pill to change your mind. You can take a pill to dull your mind, but you cannot take one to change your mind. Only you can do that.
Amen.
There's a heart change needed for the Word to work in your life. How do you treat the Word of God? Do you know that everything is a heart condition? I've said that, but let's take it a little bit further. All of creation, no matter what it is, eternity itself, is a result of a heart condition. It's a result of the heart of the Father. It's the result of the love that was in the Father's heart that had to be satisfied. Ephesians puts it that way, that he had to satisfy the intense love. That's what it's all about. I can guarantee you a large number of Christians in church today don't know that. They don't know the heart of the Father and his deep love. If they did, we'd be living completely different lives. There would be no fear, worry, and depression in the church. It wouldn't be there. We would be so united as one that we'd light this whole world up.
That's right.
Simply because we know the heart of the Father. I would love to tell you I do. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. If you know it's there, you can kind of seek after it a little bit. But I know I got a long way to go, and you're helping me, okay? every encounter I have with somebody, good and bad, helps me grow closer to my Father, depending on how I treat that encounter. What am I doing with my fear and worry and anger and depression? What am I doing with it? Am I just letting it go and responding to it, or am I actually working on it here? I'm bringing that. David said in Psalm 25, I love it, he says, I bring my life to you. Now that's fear, worry, anger, depression. David had problems, but that was his statement. He said, I bring my life to you.
Amen.
That's everything David is, he brought to the Father. And God said he's a man after my own heart. Why? Because he was seeking the heart of the Father. He wanted to know more about God. in his own time when he was down and depressed. Every time I used to skip over the negatives when he wrote a Psalm of David, I didn't like the way he said something, I'd skip it, go down to the positives. One time the Lord quickened me, go back to that. And I didn't want to because I confess it. I speak it out as my own prayer and confession. And I didn't want to say that. But what the Lord was showing me is that he was being real with me. He was telling me where he was at. And he was bringing it to me. But notice what he said after that. He brought in who I am. But you, O Lord. And then he would talk about his mercy, his loving kindness, and all the attributes of God. He declared where he was, where he was living, but then he declared who the Father was. Amen. What a lesson that is to us. You can be real with God, but if you're real with God, expect change.
That's right.
Don't just come with the problem, come with the answer.
Amen.
Because he's already given us the answer right here.
Amen.
That's why I had that confession. We do it every Bible study because it positions our hearts and minds to hear. But it also lets us know that this is his word. And I can rely on it. It will make change. It will. If I treat it as a book, sorry. May as well just read the encyclopedia. But if you treat it as an absolute from God's heart and you search the commandments and the promises and make them part of you, believing them even if you don't understand them, even if you don't know how it's going to work, you bring it to your Father and let him fine-tune it. And he will. Change will happen. We need to know that everything is a heart condition. And when you seek the heart of the Father, you're going to find a very loving, kind God. One who knows you better than you ever could know him. Better than you could ever possibly know him. I'm going to skip forward here. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13 through 16. This is where we left off the last time. I don't know how far I'm going to get into this. But let's go on down to 14. Now, there's some commandments here, so pay attention to them as we read them. I'm reading the Amplified Bible. And above all. So what's priority in your life? This is above that. No matter what you count as important in your life, this is above that. Do you treat this as an absolute? You should. God said it's above all. So it's an absolute. And above all these put on. Now there's another commandment. It's a choice you have to make. Something you're going to have to do. And above all these put on love. And enfold yourself with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. 15. And let, there's another commandment. I'm doing that, and I do it every time I minister almost, because there's people hear the tape for one thing, and there's people that don't know this. They'll hear it and not do it. So when we're studying Scripture, stop on that word a minute. What am I going to let? This is me here. God's speaking to me here. Let. So I got to make a choice here. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your heart. There goes your depression, fear, and worry right out the door if you do that. Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ's one body, you were called to live or commanded to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. So your life should be a praise to God no matter what you're doing. No matter what's coming against your life, no matter what is hindering you in your life, turn that around as a praise. Not for it, but in it. Because he didn't put you there. He's not teaching you something by giving you this problem. He didn't do that. It's in your life walk for whatever reason.
Amen.
So now right in the middle of this problem, no matter how bad it is, you turn praise and worship to the Father. You take the word and you return it to him, what he said. That's what David was doing. Said the problem, then what did he do? But you, O Lord. That's what he was doing. Okay, so that's what we need to do in our very lives. And then in verse 16, another let. Let the word spoken by Christ, the Messiah, have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you with all in all its richness. Last time we talked about John chapter 15, verse 7, which Jesus said, talked about the abiding word there. That if you allow the word to abide, it lives there. Something you have chosen. The word to you is an absolute, so it abides and lives in me. I choose it. That's the word Paul's talking about here. That's the word that the angels can grab a hold of. That's when things start changing around you. It's the abiding word that brings forth harvest. It's also the word that the enemy is after. He's trying to get you off of that. Because it's the abiding word that brings forth harvest and fruit. It's the abiding word that he can't, once it's rooted, once it starts rooting, and you start obeying it and living it and making it an absolute, he can't move it. He can't stop it. See, he's got to get you to stop it. That's the only chance he has. He has no chance. Satan cannot do anything to stop the word. It's not possible. He has to have you to stop it. Okay, so remember that. If you treat it as an absolute, then the enemy can't get to it. Okay, you've done that. You've made that choice. So that connects you with God's heart and with what he said. When you connect with that, you're in covenant. And those angels are responsible. The Holy Spirit's responsible. God the Father starts working. And you just stay connected. Amen. You stay. You remain. You stand therefore, like Paul was saying in Ephesians chapter 5. You stand therefore. That's part of standing. Anything you see coming against that, you reject it. Amen. You treat it as an enemy. Doubt is an enemy. Treat it that way. Because here's an absolute. Right. I can anchor to it. I can make it my foundation. And it will cause me to grow. The word contains its own power to grow, its own power to do whatever. Everything it needs is already in that seed. And once it's in the soil of my heart, it's gonna bring harvest. Just the same way that God said, light be, it's the same principle. Satan cannot stop that light. It's still going. You can't stop the light that's in you because the Holy Spirit himself lives there, part of the Godhead. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things as you sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs making melody to God with his grace in your hearts. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. Now that is the life, the chosen life, that God chose and called us to for every single person that bears his name. Everyone that's born again is to be living this way. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Okay, it's an absolute with God. And the only way we can do this really is to set our love upon him and allow his love, which is already set on us, to work in and through us. Yes. It needs to be our umpire. It's rock solid. That's why I like that word absolute. It's not changeable. If I make the love of God and his word an absolute, then it leaves the choices are easy. I'm not saying I will like the choice, but if it's an absolute, it's not changeable. So I go his way. And the more I go his way, the more I walk the love walk, the more I can hear his voice, the easier it becomes. Yeah. Because now it's becoming habitual. There's no choices anymore to make. I mean, you've got to make the choice, but the choice is not, it's kind of predetermined. I'm going God's way. Yeah. I don't want that mess over there. I'm going to stay spiritually minded because that brings life.
Yeah.
Carnally minded brings death.
Amen.
And I want to know my Father in the deepest way I possibly can in this life, knowing that there's much more to come when I get there. You want to be able to praise God in your fullest? You start loving Him that way.
Amen.
You won't have a hard time with praise and worship.
That's right.
Because you're singing your song to His heart.
Yes.
And then what you'll hear is in your spirit, you'll hear Him singing back to you.
Yes.
But you got to listen for it, because He will.
Yeah.
He loves that. Psalm 19 and verse 8. The precepts, or the word, the precepts of the Lord are right. That's an absolute. Rejoicing the heart. So the word of God will bring joy into our hearts. It'll uplift us. If we receive it as an absolute. If we don't just read it and let it go on by. The precepts, this living word, will bring joy to our hearts. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure and bright, enlightening the eyes. Not just what you see, but the eyes of the Spirit. It brings revelation to you. It opens up understanding. When you see light, a lot of times in Scripture, it's talking about revelation. Spiritual revelation, insight. The reverent fear. Now, in the King James, when it says fear the Lord, fear the Lord, you see fear all the way. It's not talking about being afraid of Him. That's not what it's talking about. If you go to the dictionary, you'll find one of the definitions of fear is reverence. And that's what it's talking about. It's in the Webster specifically. It's when you go those lines of definitions, I think it's down close to the bottom, you'll say reverence. And the Amplified uses this word that they translated fear. The Amplified Bible goes back to the Greek and Hebrew and translated as reverence. So there is a reverential fear of God, putting Him in His place where He actually is. And if you're going the wrong way, then yeah, you fear God. But if you're His child and are in that loving relationship, you don't have to be afraid of Him. That's why He wants you in His presence. He doesn't want you to fear Him as being afraid. He wants you to reverence Him, because when you do that, you unlock His heart to yours.
Amen.
There's an unlocking process that happens. The more you reverence who He is, the more you love Him, the more of His person dwells in you. Mm-hmm. But that's a choice you make. The reverent or reverential fear of the Lord, verse 9, is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In other words, there's not one untruth in God's word. None. Zero. Matter of fact, in Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17, He actually says, "Thy word is truth." So Jesus Himself identifies truth. That's an absolute. God's word is truth. No matter what the circumstances say, God's word is truth. It's a higher law. So I need to know that and treat it that way. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, even than much fine gold. They are sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Why did He choose those two things? First of all, gold represents life and finances and business and all of the other stuff. Food represents a life essential we have to have. So there are two things that are of great value to us. One we stay alive with. The other one allows us to function in our life. So He says here, both of these, He said, no matter how much gold you have, no matter how pure it is, no matter how wealthy you are in this world, no matter how much food you have, this is more important. You know, you want to get a guy out in the desert, he might have a whole bunch of money. How many have seen movies that way? They're trying to drag this gold across the desert. But eventually they run out of water, so the gold goes. No matter who they are, they let the gold go for the water. And eventually they even kill for the water. Don't they? Well, that's what God's saying. You might have your life set up in gold and riches and in businesses and jobs and all the things that make you in your daily life. And you might say, well, you might eat who knows what all. And that's something that you like to do and you want to do. But this is more important. This is more important than the very life you live in any area. God's word is better than that. It's not if you don't treat it that way to you. So you decide of what value your relationship with the Lord is. Only you can do that. But more to be desired are they than gold, even than much fine gold. They are sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Psalm 119:130. Now we're talking about this word, this living word that brings forth life. If you don't establish what the word is, if you don't establish how it functions and the heart of what God's doing with his word, how much it's an absolute, your faith will be hindered. You'll think you're walking in faith and you're not. Your faith is grounded on the word. That's what it's settled on. Now we're talking about faith in God and faith in the word, faith that changes things. We all have faith in something. You had faith to sit down. We have to have faith in the word. It's our grounding. If we don't have faith in the word, if we don't trust the word, if we don't see it for what it actually is, then our faith is hindered. And our prayer life is hindered. When we go to God with our issues and problems, it's hard to get them changed because we don't treat it as an absolute. Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance and unfolding of God's of your words, he's talking to God, give light or revelation or life. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. Even if you cannot read, you can still have a heart for the Father. Someone can read it to you, you can hear it. There's no excuse in where we're living in this season and time not to know God and not to know his word. There's no excuse for anybody. Reading or not is not an excuse because it's available. But there's no excuse for you to be without God's word in your life. So if it enters, because I'm hearing it, faith always comes, I hear it, goes into my spirit, I accept it. I trust it. I place my trust in it. Okay, it's entered. Once it enters, then revelation comes because it's in my spirit. And the Holy Spirit who lives inside my spirit, that's where he lives, inside my spirit, that's who I am. He lives in there. If I'm born again. If I'm not born again, he's not there. Get born again, he comes in. It's that simple. He lives in there. And when that word gets there, the Holy Spirit brings understanding to me through my spirit. His spirit connected to mine. The word goes in because I choose it. It's unfolded. Many of us know computers. There's things called zip files. You can download it because it's smaller. You can download it, but you can't use it. It's useless to you until you unzip it. That's what unfolding is. You have to unfold the word. Allow it to open up in your spirit. But it's got to go in first. It's got to be downloaded first. Once you receive it and you hear it, you make a choice for that, you make a choice to obey it and hear it, and you treat it as an absolute, you've unzipped it. It's opened up inside on your hard drive of your spirit. And now your spirit communicates that to your mind, emotions, and your will. But if that process is canceled out somewhere, then you're on your own with your mind, emotions, and will. That's mind, emotions, and will, they're carnal. That's where they live. They live in the mind. Okay, that's the battleground, the mind. That's where depression, fear, and worry are. They're not in your spirit unless you put them there. They can be there. But if you're born again and you put the word in, it will overcome that. But if you don't put the word in, it can't overcome it. Because you're making wrong choices and you're not treating it as an absolute. God and his word are one. When you receive, believe, and act on the word, you are receiving and believing God himself. That's the way this process works. When you take his word for what he said, you're receiving him. And when you receive him and believe it, then that activates it. God and His Word are one. When you receive, believe, and act on the Word, you are receiving and believing God Himself. You are activating and putting into action what He says, and it will come to pass. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning was the Word. So that's the beginning when? That's before even heaven existed. That's way back when there's God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heaven was created, the Bible teaches us. That's before that. So it's before all time. I mean, it's way back there. Who knows how long that was in God's heart before He actually said something? Nobody knows, because God is, period. He didn't have a beginning. He just is. I don't understand that, neither do you. But He is. He's I am. So way, way, way back there was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. They are one. Psalm says He has exalted His Word above His name. So when are we going to treat these things as absolutes? How many here wants change? I know you're working on something, because I am. How many of you are working on something in your life? Find the promise and treat it as an absolute, and watch God work. You have to maintain that absolute. If you don't maintain it and treat it that way, nothing's going to change. And don't you think because you make that decision that the enemy's not going to try to say, "Oh, do you really believe that? That can't be that way." Hey, it's right here. It says right here in this Bible, it says that's an absolute. I can't change that. How can I doubt something that's an absolute? Scientists don't have no problem doubting an absolute. They might prove it. Try to prove the absolute, don't they? I mean, they'll work on that. But all when you're dealing with an absolute, it proves itself. And so will the Word. The Word will prove itself. It you don't have to prove it at all. It proves itself. Because it is. God's made this system so simple. I want to say a few more things here and then pick up there next time, okay, because I'm out of time. One of the reasons that we do not have more signs, wonders, and miracles in the church today is that it is not founded and anchored in God's Word. We're founded and anchored in what I think it says. We're founded and anchored in what our denomination says. We're founded and anchored in a man's opinion. But don't do that, no matter who it is. Find out for yourself. God will show you. If it's God speaking, it will prove itself. And if you don't understand it, and if you don't even believe it, don't throw it out. Put it on the shelf and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you in His time. But if you can see it, then treat it as an absolute. Because it's that way whether I understand it or not. It is. So if we want signs and wonders and miracles in the church, if we want to see what they saw in the book of Acts, there's only one way to get there. Absolute. We got to walk in the love of God in each other. We got to know His heart and who He is. And then we got to walk in absolutes. I can guarantee you, God does not want to take us back to the beginning. We should be so far beyond that right now. What happened on the first day? 5,000 got saved, and everybody heard them in their own language. We haven't seen that. Have we? I haven't. But that's the way it started. So where should we be? The enemy's been successful at separating and dividing and putting us over into lack of trust in the Word, lack of believing it, lack of acting on it. We've sat down. And God's saying, get up, fall in love with me. I got a work to do. Amen. One minister said there's a 120-year-old anointing that God wants to get into the earth. But He can't get His people to live that long. And it's not God's fault. Because they're concentrating on everything else but His Word. Mm-hmm. But the Bible doesn't guarantee 70. That was in the desert, in the wilderness. The Bible guarantees 120 is normal. Now, I don't know that I'm going to get there. I didn't find this stuff out till later. So I've had a lot of junk holding me down and maybe keeping me. But I'm going to strive for the 120. Because if that's normal, don't we want to be normal? Well, I do. I mean, I said it some time back, and maybe you'll remember it. If you're not walking in love, you're abnormal. If you're a Christian and you're not walking in love, you're abnormal. Well, let's get normal. We label ourselves as believers, do we? What does a believer do? A believer believes absolutes. God said it, it's an absolute, I believe it. I don't understand it, but I believe it because God said it. How do you find out what God said? You open it up. You know, spend your time in the New Testament, find out who you are. Just get simple. Look for promises and commandments and say, I'm going to do that. God says that, that's an absolute, I'm going to do that. Amen. And Holy Spirit, you help me because I can't do it on my own. And trust Him. He wants you to do that more than you want it,
right.
Doesn't He? Okay, so let's get our hearts knit together. Let's get some absolutes going here. There's no reason this little church can't change the world.
Amen.
12 men did it in an upper room. And it's happened a lot. One man did it, walking all over, preaching the gospel from jail. His name was Paul. And the man that changed his heart was Stephen. Got stoned to death. Paul never lost that. Movies can't compare with what's in here.
That's right.
Can't do it. I mean, we are so filled with His loving kindness and mercy. If we only wake up to that and allow that love to move from me into you, and then we link that together, we can change this world. The only thing this world's lacking is a real church. That's all we're lacking in this world. Is Jesus going to come back? Is there going to be a tribulation? Yes. But that's because there has to be change.
Amen.
It can't stay like it is and be changed. I know I got to shut up, but I was talking sometime back in our Bible study, and I mentioned this. I don't know how we got over there. Sometimes we get places I don't know how we got, but it's the Holy Spirit speaking. I'm there now, okay? Don't know how I got here. But there's a talks about everything's going to be burned up in a fire. You know, there's a time coming when everything's going to be burned up in a fire. What the Word says, He's going to shake heaven and earth. Everything that is shakeable is going to be shaken. Well, if you think about it, God's Word says He's going to move His throne here. Right? That's what it says. He's going to physically move His throne here, and everyone sitting here that knows Him as Lord and Savior is going to be there on that day.
Amen.
It's in our future. That's an absolute, because His Word says it. It will happen. Well, I got to thinking about that. How can He move His throne into time? He can't. He can't move His throne into time. Time has to move into eternity. I mean, that He lives in eternity. Time is part of eternity. It's inside of eternity. It's not, eternity is not inside of time. Time's inside of eternity. It was created as a box-like thing for man with a certain time frame. And that's what Satan's operating in. He's operating in this box. And it's about over. And that's why he's more visible now than ever. He's out of time. He ain't got no place to go. So he's visible. That's good. He functions best in darkness, and it's not dark no more where he's at. The church is bringing too much light in, and he's at the end of his time. So at the end of this time and the thousand-year reign that's yet ahead, God's going to move his very throne here. And in order to do that, time has got to become part of eternity. It's got to be absorbed into eternity. Is that a fire and a change? You better believe it's a fire and a change. Is that going to change everything that we know? Only the sin and the darkness is going to go.
Yes.
But man, after he moves his throne here, then there is no more time.
Amen.
No more end, no more fear, no more worry.
I
love thinking about that stuff. I mean, I like imaging it and getting in there and saying, well, why, how can he do that? He can't. Not without changing everything. And what is that fire? That fire is the glory and the love of God.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. That's the fire that changes things and wipes out evil.
Amen.
Then we got some exciting things ahead. But you know where it starts in us? When we treat this as an absolute.
Amen.
then God can start revealing some things to us. I really want us to get a hold of some of this and start down this road. I know Pastor's heart. Pastor's heart, I know he cries to himself a lot of times because he wants the church to come up. He wants us to know who we are. It's been a heart cry. I've known him a long time, even before this church. I've known him for a long time. And his heart's always been there. I love that man. I tell you, I'm so honored to be a part of what his ministry is. It's just an honor to me. And I got the same heart. I don't have the same anointing, but I've got the same heart. I want us to know who God is. And that's the heart that our pastor has. Everything he's done, everything he ever will do in this life, has got that one goal. It's for us to join our hearts together as one and be who we really are. You know, and reach out to the people around us to hook up and link up one to another and be who we really are. Then there will be no, the book of Acts will be put in shade. You know, that's a starting place. One more thing I want to say, I promise it's, but get this in your heart, and I'll start there next time, because this is important to us. Okay. This one statement is found in John 3:33. I skipped a whole bunch of scriptures that should be up there, but John 3:33, Titus 1:2, and Romans 4, 20 through 22, you'll see it there too. This phrase is, God cannot lie. And that's what scripture says. God cannot lie. Why? Because he's a truth. What is a lie? It's an absence of truth or a deception. Who does the deceiving? Satan does the deceiving. But God cannot lie. It's an absolute. That's why it's so important for us to get that word in our minds and spirits as we go through it. Titus 1:2 says, resting in the hope of eternal life, which the ever-truthful God, who cannot deceive, promised before the world or ages of time began. Now that's way back there, before the world or ages of time began. John 3:33 says, whoever receives his testimony has set his seal of approval to this, God is true. That man has definitely certified, acknowledged, declared once and for all, and is himself assured that it is divine truth that God cannot lie. As surely, 2 Corinthians 1:18, as surely as God is trustworthy and faithful and means what he says, our speech and message to you have not been yes that might mean no. I can guarantee you the church here, Pastor Ron and all the staff here, our yes is not a yes that can mean no or a deception. His word is yea and amen. 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 Father, we thank you so much for this time in your word today. Lord, you spoke to our hearts, and we appreciate it so much. We thank you, Lord.